You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kimberly Adams. To the big labor news today, Amazon employees at a warehouse in Bessemer, Alabama, have voted against forming a union. For months, the retail, wholesale, and department store union has been trying to organize the just over 5,800 workers. The effort drew national attention from corporations, workers, labor activists, celebrities, even politicians. Amazon is the country's second largest private employer, and with a rapidly expanding warehouse workforce that has been crucial to the company's growth during the pandemic. But in the end, workers voted by a landslide against unionizing. Marketplace's Jasmine Garths has more.
It looked like the union could win, but the no vote was not a big surprise to Todd Vachon at the Rutgers School of Management and Labor Relations. He says U.S. labor law benefits employers.
And it makes it very difficult to organize a union in the United States. There's just so many obstacles in the way and so many opportunities for the employer to instill fear in the workers, to disseminate misinformation.
For example, Bessemer workers reported anti-union text messages and signs in bathrooms, as well as mandatory meetings. Celine McNicholas is with the Economic Policy Institute.
You know, Amazon certainly, from all accounts, engaged in, you know, a campaign against the union, and that there's likely some elements that violate the National Labor Relations Act in there.
The Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union has said it will challenge the vote with the National Labor Relations Board. David Madland, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, says the Bessemer vote is a blow to organized labor.
But I think it also really highlights the need for legal reforms to make it possible for workers who want to join a union to be able to do so.
In a statement, Amazon says it did not intimidate workers and does not consider this a win. Quote, "Our employees made the choice to vote against joining a union." I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
With big corporations playing such a big role in politics and labor, governments all over the world are cracking down on just who can control key businesses. There is growing international scrutiny around Chinese efforts to buy companies in particular. Italy's president revealed that his country blocked a Chinese firm from acquiring an Italian microchip manufacturer. And here in the U.S., just yesterday, the Commerce Department stopped seven Chinese firms from buying American-made technologies. Other government agencies are reviewing past deals. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has more on what's going on.
From North America to Europe and East Asia, governments are paying more attention to who is buying up their companies in certain sectors. That's especially true when the buyer is based in China.
The Europeans think that China intends to squeeze out their companies.
James Lewis is with the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
The Germans look at car manufacturing. Chinese are trying to elbow them out. In Europe, it's very much an economic concern.
In the U.S., the stated concern around Chinese companies is national security, usually, though not always, in high-tech sectors like semiconductors. Damian Ma is with the Paulson Institute think tank.
So anytime you talk about very high-value technology, it's almost inevitable that they're dual use. You know, chips go into your phones and chips also, you know, go into, you know, fighter jets.
China has its own set of restrictions on foreign companies and a blacklist. It, too, wants to reduce its vulnerabilities. Tatiana Bolton is with public policy research group, the R Street Institute.
There's a global power shift. China's rising. The United States arguably is falling. And so this brings about a lot of different concerns for both nations as they change in the power dynamics of the global order.
Global supply chains have been weaving themselves tightly across borders for decades. Now, as countries examine and cut individual threads of international trade, the question is what happens to the fabric. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.